Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. This is the show. This is the show. As a matter of fact, you're here. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do focus you on the news of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's very good to have you with us as an even darker pall settles over the McBurney compound as we look forward to suffering through yet two more weeks of one of the most severe cases of bronchitis ever to hit a sports town. Yes. Now, we didn't watch the game because it's here at the McBurney compound, the Broncos versus the Patriots is like watching one of those old black and white newsreel reports of the Russian front in World War II. Things are going bad. Things are ugly. You start rooting for the Russians, and then you remember who the Russians are, and then you just don't know what to do. So we just didn't watch. Well, we watched the last 11 seconds or so of the game when it appeared that the evil New England Patriots had an opportunity to perhaps win the game. But obvious to everyone was the fact that Belichick and Brady were obviously prevented from their usual game plan, cheating. Yes. So without the ability to effectively cheat, the Broncos snuck out of Mile High Stadium with a victory, and we are to endure two more weeks of severe bronchitis. Yes, yes, please keep us in your thoughts as we suffer through. But there's other much more important news. There's the, well, what is there? Well, there's the presidential election. It's been quite a tumultuous week in the world of Republican politics. There's basically a political war going on between, well, conservatives and Republicans who are not conservatives. And I think there's a third way. I'm just not sure who that. I'm not sure how to analyze all this. But this political battle and the fact that high-profile people are taking sides, I think, indicates the gravity of this political season as we try to desperately move forward from the era of Barack Obama, which I think will never end. I just saw a clip. They're going to make a movie about how Barry and Michelle fell in love on the south side of Chicago. Yeah. Two liberals drawing paychecks for no-show jobs in the midst of a bloodbath and how they fell in love. Yeah. We can look forward to that. But that's the Democrat side. The Republican side is difficult for me because I was once registered as a Republican. And although I am no longer, I generally agree with Republicans more than Democrats. And so I was not surprised to hear what I'm about to report to you. But it was somewhat disheartening when a well-known radio talk show host basically urged the Christians to give up on the abortion issue and vote for Donald Trump. I'll give you my impression of what I heard, and then perhaps you can guess which prominent radio talk show host stated the following. He said, quote, "Go ahead, throw yourselves onto your values and lose another election. Go ahead, go ahead. You Christians, you need to get over the fact that some people don't want to have children at certain times in their lives, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just get over it. Get over it and vote for Trump." It's not a very good impression. You know who that was? My extremely attractive audio engineer. Very perceptive. Even with a lousy impression, she was able to determine, who do you think that was?
Savage.
Michael Savage, that's right. Michael Savage said, "Get over it. Get over the abortion issue. All you people think about is abortion, abortion, abortion. Well, there's other issues. And Donald Trump can make America great again. You people." So, anyway, Michael Savage. He's a heathen anyways. What do you expect? He still has his, all paths to God are like spokes on a wheel, you see? I heard that, I think, when I was, when I would have been a sophomore in college, had I gone to college, which I did not do. That's when I first heard the whole spokes on a wheel thing. And at the time, I thought it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, how many other truths are there many, many, many different paths to? Some which contradict each other. Though there are no other truths like that. But if you're a junior college professor and you're trying to impress some of the girls in the class, you might introduce the idea that all the great religions are like spokes on a wheel and they all go lead to the same. And impressionable college girls, they might buy into that for a little while. I didn't even buy into it when I was 19 years old. I thought, what a moron. Spokes on a wheel. Anyway, it's like it's like the Romans versus the Christians, folks. And Donald Trump, to me, represents the Romans. And I don't know what to say about the evangelicals who are obviously flocking to his campaign. I don't know who they represent. They don't represent the Christians. And can you imagine how much the Romans will hate us, the Christians, if Trump were to lose because the Christians stay home, in similar fashion to Mitt Romney? But, of course, Donald Trump will be going up against, well, I don't know who yet, but whoever he goes up against is going to be eminently beatable. And he might not need the Christians to win it. And he'll be able to bamboozle enough of them that he won't need us, the Christians who just won't give up on the abortion issue. I don't think it's extreme to ask that my president believe that every innocent person has a right to life, a God-given right to life. He doesn't even have to say God-given. He could leave that out so he doesn't offend the atheists. Because you know how atheists flock to conservative politicians. You don't want to offend them. He could just say that every innocent person has a right to life. And Donald Trump's never said that. And so I want to make clear on the broadcast today that I am not endorsing Donald Trump. I wonder if anybody gets that joke. Anyway, if you listen to conservative talk radio over the past, I don't know, 2-3 months, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the host say, "Now, I am not endorsing Donald Trump." And then he goes on to talk about Donald Trump as if he's going to save America, or if he's America's last best hope. So I just want to make it clear right here today, as things stand today, I will not be endorsing Donald Trump. But I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, that if Glenn Beck and some lawyer from Texas is our last best hope to prevent a Trump ascendancy, then, well, we might as well crown Trump Caesar right now. I don't see them pulling it off. So here's the thing about Ted Cruz. I want to support him. I agree with many of the things he's done and many of the positions he takes. But I'm not willing to give up on the abortion issue. To abortion, abortion, abortion. Because I feel like if a president doesn't believe in the fundamental right to life of every innocent person, it really doesn't matter what else he believes in. Well, especially for those people who will be killed. Certainly. Nothing else matters. And after scrupulous research over the past week, I can find nowhere in the record where... what's the lawyer from Texas' name? I always blank on this guy's name. Ted Cruz. I've never found it written or where he spoke the words that the innocent have a right to life, or specifically that the unborn have a right to life. And you would think if a fellow believes something that fundamental, that if you went back far enough in his writings and his speeches somewhere, he would say that. To the best of my knowledge, all I can find is that Ted Cruz believes it should be up to the states whether or not the innocent have a right to life. And that's just not enough for me. Because I don't think the states have a right to decriminalize criminal behavior. They don't have a right to legalize rape or murder or theft or any of that. So despite Glenn Beck's inauguration this weekend, I simply cannot jump on board the Ted Cruz bandwagon, although it is a possibility. If he would just say it, just say that he believes that all innocent people have a God-given right to life. But speaking of Trump as Caesar, last week I talked about, well, I don't know if I talked about it on this show or on Bob's show on KLT, about the era of the celebrity president. Maybe we could play a game. You people could send me suggestions. Who do you think the next, let's say Trump ascends to the presidency, and who's next? Who would be the next celebrity president? Who would the Democrats and the liberals put up? I mean, Tom Hanks, maybe? Maybe? Tom Hanks, yeah. He's a big-time liberal. Oprah Winfrey? Nah, that's a little dated. Maybe not. Oh, Bill Maher. Well, he's practically become a conservative these days because he rails against some of the nuttier things that the liberals do. How about Adele? Adele? Who's Adele? What are you talking about? My extremely attractive audio engineers trapped musically somewhere around 1989. She never got past.
John Bon Jovi.
That's what the Democrats can put up, John Bon Jovi. Yes, he's a big time liberal. No, I think Adele's British, though. She's a singer. No, maybe Sean Penn? No. How about Dee Snider? Right?
He's a Republican.
He's a Republican. Oh, well, maybe he'll succeed Donald Trump.
Next,
it'll be Dee Snider could be his vice president. For those in the audience who don't recognize the reference to Dee Snider, consider yourselves lucky. We'll just leave it at that. Now, I do believe that the recommendation will come down this week from the FBI in a public manner, the recommendation that Hillary Clinton be indicted for her mishandling of classified information on her private server with all her emails and all of that. So that comes down this week, and then what? Will the Ho administration indict? Will Loretta lynch Hillary Clinton? I think she will. And I think it'll all look very convenient to all of them. And then whoever's next, I don't know, Bernie Sanders, you think he can pull it off? Bernie Sanders? Somehow I doubt that. I mean, I have expressed my complete shock and revulsion to the number of socialists in our midst. There's tons of them. We're surrounded by them. People have become, especially amongst the younger set. Everyone who thinks that homosexual marriage is okay, they teeter on the edge of socialism if they're not just outright socialists. So Bernie has a shot, but he's kind of short and his hair is disheveled. And America likes to elect good-looking people. And so I think, well, Bloomberg's not good-looking. I can't imagine who the Democrats are going to put up when Hillary's indictment comes down. But
John Bon Jovi,
there you go. If it is Trump, they might as well put up Bon Jovi. Maybe they'd have a chance at winning.
Bono, I forgot.
Oh, then, well, but Bono's Irish.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? No, I actually had an argument. Well, not an argument. I had a debate this week on Facebook with a good friend of mine who's running for president. He runs for president every 4 years, Tom Hoefling. Great guy. But he was throwing out this birther stuff against Ted Cruz, and I'm like, Tom, please. So first of all, I think the legal argument's just ridiculous. But secondly, if a guy was qualified and you could check off all the boxes and you could support the guy, why would you disqualify him because his mom was born in Canada and he had dual Canadian citizenship? But then again, Tom's running for president. So anyway, and we love Tom. God bless him. He's probably be the only guy I can end up endorsing yet again. And the thing is it doesn't matter if Tom wins or loses. It really doesn't matter. Because who the next president is, it will have relatively little impact on your life or my life. What will be impactful on your life and my life is whether or not we stand for the principles that make us who we are, followers of Jesus Christ, Christian people, God-fearing people. And there's no election worth tossing out your abortion obsession, you people obsessed. Get over it, please. There just is no election where it's worth sacrificing godly principles, biblical principles, in order to win some temporal victory amongst a bunch of people who are going to be around for 4 years on the government dole, rearranging the deck chairs as the Titanic sinks. I mean, Glenn Beck says that we're the life raft, and he's a pagan, for crying out loud. I mean, if this is where we're at, maybe this election isn't as important as I thought. Don't give up. Host Doug McBurney, and that is Vito Bratta on guitar. Yes, living proof, in my opinion, that God is not in control of everything. God didn't write it all down beforehand, and he hasn't predetermined everything in your life. Yes, I said living proof that God is not in control, because ironically enough, the guy who played that guitar solo, he ended up with... He ended up with arthritis. Yes, he had to retire out of rock and roll because of a battle with arthritis. I don't know if it was his fret hand or his pick hand. So if God was in control, then there's no way Vito Bratta would have ever gotten arthritis. It just couldn't have happened. I mean, the guy who played this, are you kidding me? Oh, no. Right. That's the greatest guitar solo in, at least in the hair metal era. Perhaps the greatest guitar solo in the history of such things, right? And he ends up with arthritis and he can't play guitar. It's just a tragedy. Now, so I said God is not, these guys don't want to stop? Is that extremely attractive? Audio engineer doesn't want to stop. So I said God is not in control. I mean, God does decide how things end up, and he does win. But he's not micromanaging your life, and he didn't predestine Vito Bratta to end up with a debilitating arthritis so that he could no longer play guitar, is what I meant by all that. All right, now, we got to get into the news. So I've been fooling around here, and the show's a quarter of the way over already. And so let's get to Sarah Palin. Okay? Now, did you people see Sarah Palin endorse Donald Trump? Okay. I'm going to give you my impression. You take this for what it's worth. I hope you're not offended. I thought Sarah Palin sounded like a really drunk chick at a biker bar at like 2 a.m. She's announcing who she's going home with. I'm sorry. That's just the way it struck me. What with the screaming and the profanity. Yeah. Anyway, that was. I thought Donald Trump any moment was going to grab the mic away from her, have somebody dump some confetti on her or whatever, just tell her she was done and just get her out of there. I thought he was just creepy, weird, bizarre, strange, disconcerting, distasteful, hard to listen to, hard to watch, hard to believe that anyone takes Sarah Palin seriously as an intellectual thought leader. It shocks me to the foundation of my soul that any of you people think Sarah Palin has anything of value to say ever. But Sarah Palin is America's conservative mother figure. And that in and of itself is a commentary on the state of things there. So I'm not going to do an impression of Sarah Palin screeching her endorsement for Donald Trump just to spare you people the pain. I don't want you to have to go through that. Now, speaking of pain, on the other side of the political aisle, well, not too far on the other side, but just over the line from Sarah Palin is Hillary Clinton. Now, what's the difference between Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton? Shent? What is a shent? It's a shirt that could double as a tent? Because Hillary wears a shent? All right, now there is one difference. Sarah Palin's better looking than Hillary Clinton. Now, is it okay to say that? I think that might be sexist. Sarah Palin? You kidding me? How do you think she ever got where she is without looks? She's obviously got no brains, no talent, no skill, no timing, no principles. The difference between Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin is that Hillary Clinton will come out publicly and tell you where she stands on issues of morality. Sarah Palin likes to keep that close to the vest. I mean, she was pro-life. Everyone said she was pro-life. Why? Well, she didn't kill her baby. Oh, okay. That's great. But she did appoint a Planned Parenthood board member, a former Planned Parenthood board member, to the Supreme Court of the state of Alaska. Hillary, you would have known up front that she was going to appoint a Planned Parenthood board member to the Supreme Court. Nobody would have been surprised. But with Sarah Palin, it was a bit of a shock, especially to the gullible morons who thought that Sarah Palin was something or somebody. But let's move on. I don't want to bash Sarah Palin. Anyway, I did say she was good looking, so there. Let's get back to Hillary Clinton, though, speaking of pain. Hillary Clinton, according to Breitbart, her campaign released a video this week that features close-up footage of two men kissing. Yes. Is anybody shocked by that the Clinton campaign would do that? Nobody's shocked. No. The video shows two men at an apparent gay wedding, and it says that you can succeed in America no matter who you love, as if homosexuals have had a hard time succeeding in America, right? Especially over the last 20 years. The video then dissolves into an image of two women with a child. So an interesting psychological question. How come the video didn't show two women kissing and then two men with a child? You know why they didn't show two women kissing? Because everyone knows that's pornography. That's why. Two men kissing, that's civil rights. Two women with a baby, that's civil rights. All right. So there's the Hillary campaign. Talk about the Russian front. Let's see, Hillary. Oh, here we go. I told you I've made the prediction. I believe this week a recommendation will come from the FBI. It will be public that Hillary should be indicted, and then all eyes will be on Loretta Lynch. And it's kind of tough to look away from this, Lori, sweetheart. According to Fox News, the server, Hillary's private email server, contained intelligence with levels of classification beyond even top secret, for which some of the investigators had to get clearances because it was so secret. And this is stuff that she transmitted, whatever, like on Yahoo Mail or something, ClintonFoundation.org email. I don't know. Anyway, I really don't. I really hope Hillary gets indicted. Let's see. What do I have here? The Clinton campaign says the emails were not classified at the time they were sent or received. So you hear how she says that? Well, the emails were not classified at the time they were sent or received. That's because she had assistants take off the headings that said classified and then fax them or email or whatever she did. But that doesn't count, Hillary. Just because you take off the heading, it's still classified. But I'm personally worried, by the way, if Hillary becomes president, that she'll come after me personally. And I know you probably think that's a lot of hubris to think that Hillary Clinton even knows who I am. But I did some things in the 90s to personally offend her. I made eye contact with her in the 90s. And I can tell you that if there was any way she found out my name, she has it still in her little black book of people she will kill or imprison when she becomes president. Yeah, you might want to take, if Hillary gets elected, be taking out a $5 million insurance policy on my life. Yeah. Anyway, I did all these things to Hillary to personally offend her back when I had nothing. I had nothing. Well, I had my extremely attractive audio engineer. But, you know, no kids, no money, nothing like that. Now she could come and take me for everything I'm worth, which is not a whole lot. Take my mortgage, I guess. Anyway, maybe that's, what's that, the kids? No, she can't have the kids. Well, they could take the kids away, or they could try. But anyway, I probably am worried about nothing. Yeah, but, you know, relying on Loretta Lynch to indict Hillary, I'm not 100% sure that's going to happen. Then I'd be worried. But, of course, then there's the fact that Hillary Clinton is unelectable. That's helpful if you're in my position. The fact that there's no way she could ever win a popular election, because you can't win a popularity contest when everybody hates you. And everybody hates Hillary Clinton. Yes. All right. From the economics file, we go to North Dakota. Oil, according to Bloomberg says he's running for president. Now, that he can't win because he's too ugly. Somebody that broken down and ugly cannot win. No. You have to have a good head of hair. Well, at the time, Carter had a good head of hair. He was a good 6 inches taller than anybody else. And, I mean, we were just coming off of Richard Nixon. Look, he went up against Ford. Ford had a bald spot the size of Vermont. He couldn't beat Carter. Carter had better hair. But where was I going with that now? Oh, Bloomberg News is reporting, not Mr. Bloomberg himself, that oil is so plentiful and cheap in the U.S., that at least one buyer says it would need to be paid to take a certain type of low-quality crude oil. Flint Hills Resources says it would pay negative 50 cents a barrel for North Dakota sour. North Dakota sour, that's a type of crude oil from the shale fields up there. It's a high-sulfur grade crude. It was at $13.50 a year ago, and that same North Dakota sour, almost $50 a barrel in January 2014, 2 years ago. So it's incredible what's happened to the price of oil. They say the negative price is actually due to the lack of pipeline capacity, but it's also due to the price war that was started by the Russians and the Saudis to some degree and has been exacerbated now with Iran being allowed to return to the market with their oil. And I said, I don't know if it was a year ago, it might have been 2 years ago, I said that, you know, bring on the price war, because America can weather any price war in oil and we will win. And now companies are going bankrupt left and right up in South Dakota. Bank loans to oil producers are busting all the time. But I still believe that America can win the price war when it comes to crude oil. Because we will not descend into war or civil war over the price of oil. But the rest of the world is descending into just that. And while we may win the price war because we don't end up shooting each other, the rest of the world will descend into chaos and warfare, and there's a good chance that we may be pulled down into it. That might be Donald Trump. That might be Donald Trump's new campaign. That's it. Hey, take a picture, sweetie. I ain't got time to wait. That could be that. Here at the Worldview, anyways, that will be Donald Trump's new, what do you call it? His theme song is what I was going for. Thank you. Yes. The new Trump theme song. He's a star. Says he can walk down the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone, and the evangelicals will still vote for him. And he's probably right. All right. Relying on America's most extremely attractive audio engineer to keep us firmly grounded in the year 1984. Wasn't it? 84? Right? That song? 1984, yes. All right. But Donald... If you're listening, and I know you do, I know you listen, Donald, and your people too, feel free to use it, okay? There you go, huh? Get over it! All you people with your abortions. All right. So let's get to that. Let's go to the personhood file. Let's talk about some fundamental principles that I don't think are all that extreme. To me, the belief that every innocent person has a God-given right to life, for me, that qualifies you to be welcomed into just the family of civilized man. It doesn't mean you're any great leader. It doesn't mean you're any great thinker. Doesn't even necessarily mean you're all that good of a person. You just believe that innocent people should not be killed, especially if they're completely defenseless and voiceless and helpless and are actually relying on you to love them. And then instead you give them hate and destruction. Is that extreme? To me, that's not that extreme. But our politics have devolved, our morality, in fact, collectively as a nation, and really the world, has devolved to the point where just being against killing innocent people is considered extreme. Mostly by people who have participated in the killing of other innocent people. And that number goes up every day. Every day someone new is introduced to living the life of someone who has participated in the murder of another innocent person. And you see, that's why abortion is the number one issue. That's why it's the most, not just the most important, but the acceptance of the idea that certain people can be dehumanized and killed is the most pernicious, corrosive belief that can exist, and it will destroy everything else. and ISIS will march over our dead bodies and plant their flag in Washington, D.C. because of it, if things don't change. And I'm no supporter of ISIS, you people, okay? But everybody freaks out about ISIS chopping the heads off of people. When here in America, our government has used our tax dollars and has used the law to endorse and execute the beheading of millions. ISIS isn't a pimple on the buttocks of the state and federal governments of the United States when it comes to decapitation. So I won't get over it, Mr. Savage. I have a report from the Telegraph in London, and it opens talking about a painting that hangs in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York called The Adoration of the Christ Child. The painting was created in the 16th century by a Flemish artist. What stands out in the sublime presentation of the Nativity is the detail of the characters standing around the crib. Two of them, an angel and a shepherd, appear to have Down syndrome. Now, this suggests that the condition has been around for a very long time, and it helps illuminate the early modern approach to disability. Religious art normally conformed to classical standards of beauty. By implication, this artist regarded people with Downs as angelic. Now, society, says the author, goes through peaks and troughs of sympathy towards the disabled. And we risk entering a darker age. In the UK, the National Screening Committee has approved a simple blood test for Down syndrome, so that with a little prick of the finger, a pregnant mother can find out whether or not her child has Down syndrome. And the author at the Telegraph reports, what do most women do when their baby tests positive for Downs? They abort. They abort. Abortion, by the way, is a euphemism for the killing of an innocent, defenseless, helpless child who is relying desperately upon his parents for love. And instead, they give him hate and destruction. They abort. Around 90% of pregnancies that involve the condition, according to the Telegraph, end in abortion. In Denmark, the head of a midwife association blandly told a newspaper, quote, when you can discover almost all the fetuses with Down syndrome, then we are approaching a situation in which almost all of them will be aborted. And this reporter says, it's the woman's right to make this choice. That's what the reporter for the Telegraph says. Well, it's the woman's right to make this choice, and the reasons why it's taken are entirely understandable, says the author of an article sympathetic to Down syndrome children. That's what the author of the sympathetic article said. He says, I'm not making a case for banning abortion in instances of diagnosis, rather that mothers should be informed of all the options available to them. You know, kind of like Eve in the garden. Just be aware of all the options that are available to you. So, not just in the United Kingdom, but here in America, around the world, we've all been seduced to explore this new darker age by abortion advocates. And who are the abortion advocates? Well, I'll get to who they are. You know who they are. But I'll name names, okay? So we've all been seduced into this idea that we can kill inconvenient people. People who are going to make our lives more complicated and difficult, we could just kill them. And now the advocates of life, who are the only ones who could change the minds of humanity, we give the devil his due, just like in this article, acknowledging that abortion must be legal. Even as we're sympathetic to the plight of the children being killed, we have to acknowledge that abortion has to be legal. How did we get to this? the advocates of the right to life acknowledge that abortion must be legal? Well, we got to this because of the pro-life industry, and I don't want to get into that. The pro-lifers who've made their living writing rules on when and how babies can be killed, they've taught the world that to be pro-life means that you stand up for the right to life of some children. Knowing that we can never stop the murder of innocent people, that goes without saying now. It can't be stopped. We can just nibble around the edges and try to save some. And so we sacrifice the foundational principle of the God-given right to life so that we can help write the rules on how and when certain kids can be killed so that ostensibly some others might be preserved. And then we can send out a fundraising letter on that. So we will be overtaken by the darkness. And we will be made its debtor. And the prince of darkness demands the very life of those who thought they could bargain with him. So remember that. So who are the abortion advocates who led us here? Margaret Sanger, the first major American. And then, of course, taking a cue from her, Adolf Hitler. Vicky Cowart, president of Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood. Patricia Schroeder, senator and now dean of something or other. Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, Cecile Richards, Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. But what about others? I mean, this is these are the dark demons of the world that acknowledges or insists that killing innocent people must be legal in certain circumstances. But what about your pastor? What about your congressman? What about your governor? What about them? Anyone who insists that it must be legal, but we're going to try to save some, has already surrendered to the forces of darkness. And so to you, Mr. Savage, on the radio, I have a message. We will not get over it. Because this life is not the only life. You're going to be on this planet for 70, 80, 90 years if you're really lucky and you take care of yourself. And then it's off into eternity, forever, where the consequences of every idle word will follow you for eternity, forever. And so electing Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or any of them is not worth getting over the fundamental belief, the fundamental truth. It's not even a belief. It's an obvious truth that every innocent person is endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that chief amongst these are life. And if a leader cannot state that unequivocally, he is not qualified to lead. And therefore, I will not be endorsing Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or any of the others. I think I endorsed the only person so far who said that the unborn person has a right to life. And that was, what's his name? The guy from Arkansas. The guy who he gets heavy and then he gets light. I can't think of his name. Huckabee. I almost said John Hickenlooper. I almost said Hickenlooper.
Oh, no.
Not Hickenlooper. John Hickenlooper, by the way, is the mayor of Denver, Colorado. No, he's the governor. He was the mayor. Now he's the governor of the state of Colorado. A full-throated child killer. All right. I'm going to move on, okay? Should I move on? I know I don't want to get you people down by staying on this issue for so long that you just a lot of people turn it off. They start hearing that there's something foundational and fundamental from which we cannot turn away, and they get very scared and defensive. Of course, because about a third of the people that you interact with every day, about one third of them have participated in the killing of an innocent person, and that number grows every day, and that makes it very difficult for those of us who know the truth, but have sadly discovered that the battleground was abandoned before we were even born. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the podcast that does not end. Yes, I had a debate in the comments section of a news article this week with a post-abortive, pro-abort, feminazi, flaming, evil, corrupt woman. Because she pointed out that, did you know that 4 or 5 out of every 10 fertilized eggs spontaneously abort? What does your God think about that? And I wrote back to her, I said, you know, I am aware that probably half of all embryos do not achieve implantation and are spontaneously aborted. Now, that's an actual abortion. Anyway, I told her I am aware of that, and I think quite possibly that that's one of the reasons that God has so much mercy on the people who dwell upon the earth, is because despite the fallen nature of everything, God receives to himself every day the souls that the fallen world cannot sustain. Untainted, uncorrupted, and who have the opportunity to live with him without being corrupted by evil, vicious, wicked people like you. And on Judgment Day, you're going to meet them. All of them. The ones that you killed and the ones that just went into the hands of heaven because of the fallen state of nature. And you will experience their judgment. All right. And then I was nice and I asked her to repent in Christian love. She had the Planned Parenthood logo in her avatar, so it was really hard to muster any Christian love for her, but I did. I told her, repent or be damned forever. Now, let's go to Ms. Magazine. Ms. Magazine, where, in my opinion, the entire staff is 100% post-abortive women. Ms. Magazine. They report that in Missouri, anti-reproductive rights politicians have introduced the so-called All Lives Matter Act. Can you believe the hubris of these people? How dare you say all lives matter? They call it an insult, a misappropriation of the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter, of course, being a misappropriation of the English language, because all lives indeed matter. Even the post-abortive witch on the message board at whatever newspaper, even her life matters, which is why I cared enough to take a moment to rebuke her in Christian love. So the All Lives Matter is a bill designed to strengthen Missouri's already existing personhood law, they say. Already existing personhood. Now, we know that no such law exists or is being enforced, at least. But pro-aborts insist that they're always on the verge of losing the right to kill innocent people, and that there's personhood laws already on the books. We don't need any more. The All Lives Matter Act, according to Ms. Magazine, is sponsored by Republican State Representative Mike Moon. It would amend state law to define a fertilized egg as a person and would require law enforcement to affirmatively enforce fertilized eggs' right to life. Now, the term fertilized egg doesn't appear. I read the text of the bill. It's a good bill, I think. I'm not a lawyer, so sometimes I miss things, but I think the All Lives Matter Act is a bill that I can support. And I've got to give a hat tip to Mike Moon, state representative in Missouri, for carrying on the work of the personhood movement, because that work continues in no small part because the citizens of Colorado forced the issue by putting it on the ballot 3 times. And yes, we lost the temporal election in this world, but we won in the end. We won because we stood up for our fundamental values that we know are true because they've been revealed to us by God, by the living God, by the way. The living God who'll be the host at Judgment Day. Yes, he'll be providing the hors d'oeuvres on Judgment Day. And indeed, it will be a very satisfying day. And what Michael Savage and others like him, the Trump supporters, what they don't understand is that it's the standing up for those values that's actually the victory that will redound to our benefit 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now? And how many souls? How many souls will be added to the rolls of those who go on to be with God because believers stood up for their values and would not compromise? How many? It's incalculable. And it is significant. And it's worth losing the election. It's worth losing an election over. I could care less about who you vote for president. Let's see. A law currently on the books gives, in Missouri, back to the news, a law currently on the books gives unborn children a protectable interest. That's what Ms. Magazine calls a personhood law. It does contain a provision that makes it subject to Roe versus Wade, which means it's not a personhood law at all. It's a law that says we care about life. We really, really insist that we know there is a right to life, but we also know that abortion must be legal, and we're very sorry that we brought it up, but would you please vote for this? We want to look good in front of the Christians on election day, so just let us, we'll put in there that Roe v. Wade, of course, is the law of the land, but, you know, just please let us have this little one there. That's their version of a personhood law. Anyway, Moon's bill would remove the language that says Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. The bill is being introduced into Missouri, the location of the 2014 Ferguson uprising. And this irony has not gone without notice at Ms. Magazine. I didn't really notice until she mentioned it. I don't equate personhood with Ferguson, but with the riots and the looting and the baggy pants and all that. I didn't notice it, but I'm glad she pointed it out. Christine Assefa, the organizer with the St. Louis-based Organization for Black Struggle, remarked that even though revolutionary activism overwhelmed the streets in St. Louis City and Ferguson and energized the transitional movement around the value of black lives, it is evident that racial justice is not a priority for the GOP. By hijacking Black Lives Matter, the title of a movement, Representative Moon suggests that the state of Missouri codify into law the assertion that black women are killing their own children. Unquote. Yeah. You don't want to see that codified into law, do you? Because that may make you very uncomfortable. It could be a trigger event. Could be considered a microaggression. Yes. They're also implying that black women cannot control their sexual desires. And all of these characterizations perpetuate historical, violent, and harmful stereotypes of black women. Says she, well, she's with Black Lives Matter. I've heard their speeches. I think that's a fairly accurate representation. Thank you very much. Hope I didn't offend anybody out there. And now another one from the personhood file. The South Carolina Fetal Personhood Amendment could endow full legal rights to the unborn, according to Mike.com, that's M-I-C.com, a flaming liberal, godless heathen pile of homo pervert scum website, in my humble opinion. If approved by voters, the South Carolina Fetal Personhood Amendment would ensure that no born or preborn person beginning at conception would be deprived of life without the due process of law, nor shall any person be denied the equal protection of the laws. This one I haven't had a chance to read, it would need a two-thirds vote in both chambers of the South Carolina legislature in order to become law. And seeing as at least a third of the people in both chambers have participated in the killing of an unborn, innocent, helpless, defenseless person, it stands to reason that it's highly unlikely that this bill will become law. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because what really matters in the long run is the fact that you have some legislators willing to stand up and say what is true. That's what matters. That's the victory. Standing up and saying what is true is the victory, even if your enemy cuts you down right at that moment. All right. Let's move on to the justice file, because I'm running out of time. A convicted killer has died on Louisiana death row, but he was just really old and got sick because the state never got around to executing him. Derek Todd Lee was on death row for the O2 murder of Charlotte Murray Pace and Geraldine DeSoto. He was linked to the deaths of five other women, but the state didn't have the resources or the wherewithal to prosecute him for those. An eighth woman survived, which is how this bastard got caught. How was this guy? How did this guy act while he was on death row? Let's see. A lot of time killers say they deny guilt all the way to the end. Derek did, even when we had him red-handed with the DNA. So this guy denied his guilt all the way to the end. You know why? Because the end, there was no end in sight. The end was never clear. So this particular murderer was deprived of the opportunity to repent because nobody locked him in a room with a Bible and a flashlight and said, in 3 days you're going to meet God, which is what this guy at least deserved that. Well, he didn't get that. Anyway, he got sick and died proclaiming he was innocent. All right. The War File from the War File this week. A group has pressed the U.S. Navy to consider removing all mentions of man from their titles. First on the list, midshipman. Yeah. Now, we call them a midshipman, but they saw the word man in there, and they're freaking out about it. They say that such characterizations are discriminatory. What's this? Do they have the name of this group? I guess I didn't write down the name of this group. I apologize. We have a quote from their spokesgirl, Kylie-Ann Hunter. Kylie-Ann says, like, having a word like infantryman, well, like, it still there implies that if you want to, like, do that job, you have to, like, become a man or something. Or you have to, like, be mannish. Or you have to do it in, like, a masculine way. That's Kylie-Ann Hunter, a former Marine Corps pilot who founded the anti-bias group Think Broader. Think Broader? Okay, I'm going to leave that one. Ms. Hunter also said, you know, like making a lot of these terms, you know, gender neutral is really going to help women. Yeah, it's going to help them see the military as a road to citizenship. And like a way to execute their civic duties, you know, as well as ways that they haven't been able to, you know, like in the past. Unquote. Oh, that's right. You know, exercise their civic duties, you know, in ways that they haven't been able to in the past. My extremely attractive audio engineer has pointed out that in listening to millennials speak, it almost always sounds like they're asking a question. They never state anything unequivocally, and they leave the end of every statement just open enough that you could question because we're not sure. I mean, there's one thing I know I believe in, and that's that these type of titles are discriminatory. Yeah, they don't. You know what the thing is they don't believe anything. They believe they can't really know anything that's true. And so it comes across in their body language and in their language. And you just want to slap these children across the face.
Well, it's not just children.
No, it's not just children. Yeah, I know. It's like this woman, a former Marine Corps pilot. She's probably not a millennial, although I suppose she could be.
Why did you do that?
Oh, yeah, I could have. No, I might have that. The Olympics, according to Breitbart, the International Olympic Committee has held a consensus meeting on sex reassignment and hyperandrogenism. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. The IOC held a consensus meeting on sex reassignment and hypoandrogenism, as if that was needed. Well, apparently it was needed because they needed new guidelines to loosen prior rules to allow transgendered athletes to compete in the Olympic Games. That's right. They issued a statement because nobody wanted to stand up in public and say they were going to discuss hormone levels amongst trannies so that they could see who could throw the javelin further while he was a boy. But his estrogen level is here. His testosterone level is here. He's had the surgical, you know, they basically eliminated the need for the surgical, you know. They eliminated that. You don't have to go all the way with surgery now. You can just have the hormone shots and grow the breasts, and then you can compete against the girls with the javelin and the heavy ball they throw, the shot put there. And the IOC states that the overriding sporting objective is and remains the guarantee of fair competition. Yeah, right. You know what the objective has always been at the IOC is for the organizers to have sex with as many of the athletes as possible. Okay? The Olympics, by the way, go back to Greece. So you do your own. Yeah, that's right. Now this doubles the chances of any of the transgendered or, no, what are they called? Not transgendered. This doubles the odds of the bisexuals on the International Olympic Committee. This doubles their odds of having sex with more people than they can possibly. Yeah, all right, let's just move on. It all goes back to Greece, by the way. Did I mention that? By the way, the new IOC rules regarding allowing trannies to throw shot puts against the girls, they now conform with the NCAA rules. That's the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the governing body for the athletics at the college that you're thinking about sending your kid to. So just keep that one in mind. And now on to the politics file. Ben Carson, his former campaign manager, says one reason Ben Carson's campaign is failing is that, Ben Carson is, how can I put this? He's not comfortable with homosexuality, says Ben Carson's former campaign. He's not comfortable with homosexuality. And there was nothing we could do to make him talk about it in a lexicon that's much more modern. He's just an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy. He's not comfortable with the idea of two men. I'm not going to go there. But why? Because I'm not comfortable with it. Anyway, they say Carson's inability and unwillingness to speak in a politically palatable way about homosexuality was a major component in the campaign's troubles. And so, you know what, Ben? You may not be president. You may never be president, but at least you did not take the mark. Yes, Michael Savage called for Christians this week to take the mark. That mark, yes, where you have to put aside the values that you have seen logically revealed from the living God. You have to set those aside to win an election, or let's say to buy and sell, or to be successful, or to have a successful business. Just set those aside. Let us get what we want, and you just get over it. Well, Ben Carson didn't take the mark. And so what? He loses the election. Who cares? You think 5,000 years from now in eternity that the election of 2016 is going to matter a whit? What's going to matter is where you stood on the principles revealed by the living God. All right. And I'm out of town. Oh, no. We'll finish. We've been heavy on the music this week. And probably going to continue that because I'm going to end with the Oscars. Yes, a black comic actor has been facing pressure because he's going to host the Oscars. And people are upset that they ain't no black folk. Where's all the black folk? How come they ain't nominated for no Oscar? Where's all the brothers? How come a sister can't get up in there, huh? So everyone's upset about that. The lack of diversity among the Oscar nominees. And so this black comic actor, who I will not name because I find him despicable and distasteful, so I'm not going to give him any publicity here. He says he is going to host, but the Oscar committee has announced all new rules, a whole new diversity program. You know what's funny about this is the children who grew up thinking that everyone deserves a trophy, right? You know that. The whole generation has been miseducated to think they all deserve a trophy. And so now, even a devalued, worthless trophy that's based on some sort of diversity system It's a value. It's a worthless. It's a devalued, worthless trophy, and now they demand it. They have to have it. And you say to them, but wait, if we change the standards to go by race, it devalues the trophy. And they're like, we just want our trophy, man. Just give me my trophy. Get out of my face and give me my trophy. So the new rules have come down from the Academy, and there you have it. The further devolution of Western civilization, which we will continue to watch. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, AmericanRightToLife.com, Theology Online, and as always, my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen, here at the Weekly Worldview, and we'll let you know right now that should the Lord tarry, we will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.